A very pleasant good afternoon to you, and we're hoping and pray that you are tuning in to learn what the Bible says to the questions in heart, questions on your mind and on your heart. Or in fact, what we're going to do today, with your help, we're going to go to the Bible to find the answers that you are looking for from God's Word. We make no apology about going to the Bible for the answer because, you see, one day when we stand before God, and yes, each of us will stand before God one day, He is going to be judging us based on what His Word says. And so, whatever the question you may have, if it pertains to life and godliness, get ready. Go ahead and call the old number. The number is now working, 308-9564, and you can call in right now. The lines are available. As you know, many times at the end of the broadcast, the questions pile up, and thus we are not able to get to all the questions. And so, now is your chance to go ahead and call in your question, 308-9564. There's one line available, so go ahead and just let it ring when you call, and we'll get to you in just a few moments. Now, you can also text us if you have a question. If you have a cell phone, you can text us at 725-9283. And that is our text number, so go ahead and call right now. If you have a text question or a question you'd like to ask either via text or the voice line, you can get us on your question right away. Again, you can also, and when you call the voice line, if you'd like to, you can go live on the air. The only thing we ask is get ready to be able to ask your question quickly and so that we can get on to the next question. And then also be ready to turn your radio down. Give us your name so we can be polite and address you by name. And then we will go right to the Bible for the answer. Again, that voice line is 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind. 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. Now, if you have any question, it may be of things that has happened at church this morning or some things that are in your life, then just call and we will go to the Bible. We will go to the Bible for the answer, but you set the theme for this radio broadcast. And so we are happy to be able to get your question and go to the Bible for it. One more time, the voice line is 308-9564. Both lines are available. Now you can get in with no problem. And again, the text line is 725-9283. Chuck, you have the first question?
Yes, I do. Cynthia calls in this question. Cynthia's question says, is it true that we must tithe in church? Well, Cynthia, that's a good question. I'm sure a lot of people hear about that. And I want to make mention of the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament concerning this passage. In the Old Testament, the children of Israel, they were commanded to give a tithe or a 10% of what they received to be able to take care of the tribe of the Levites. The tribe of the Levites were not allowed to work secular jobs. They had to be able to take care of the temple. So they were not able to farm, or they were not able to, you know, have sheep or anything or a flock to be able to get proceeds from. So they had to take care of the temple. And so in order for them to do that, God had the other 11 tribes to give a tenth to be able to take care of the tribe of the Levites and their needs. And in the New Testament is not used for the specific 10%. We do not see God telling us to give a specific percentage in the New Testament. What we do have is just some overall a commandment about what we should give, how we should give it, and not specifically how much we should give. And we can find this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. We see here that God says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So whatever we give, we should give as each purpose in our heart. You know, I can't tell you that's 10%, and you can't tell me that's 10%. And so we see that God says as each purposes in their heart. and you must do it not grudgingly or of necessity, but as a cheerful giver, which God loves. What we also have is 1 Corinthians chapter 16 that tells us when we should give. So 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7 tells us how we should give. And 1 Corinthians 16 verse 1 and 2 tells us when. So in 1 Corinthians 16 verse 1 says, "Now concerning the collection of the saints, as I had given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come." So verse 2 tells us when we should be giving. It should be on the first day of the week. And so we have those two passages that tell us how we should give, and we have the passage telling us when we should give. And so we should be able to recognize that and notice the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, they were told to give a specific percentage. In the New Testament, we were not. So we see that in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7, and 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2. And one quick tidbit just to add to that is that in the New Testament, we have Christ as our mediator. So Christ being better than the Old Testament and being a better sacrifice than the sacrifices of the Old Testament, should we give less than they were told or more? 308-9564, 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station, or you can text in your question to 725-9283, 725-9283.
And we'll be glad to go to the Bible for the answer. You set the topic, you set the theme, but God gives the answer through His Word. And thus, we're going to let the Bible speak to all the questions that you write in or that you call in today. The voice line, again, is available. Go ahead and call, and you can get next in line. 308-9564 is the number. You can text us at 725-9283. That's the text line. And you can text in your question, and we will, again, go to the Bible for the questions that pertain to life and godliness that are on your heart. Now, just in case you don't know this, we are on the Internet as well. And if you've got relatives or friends that are in other parts of the world, you can have them go to our website, which is at www.biblealone.com, and click on live stream, and they will be directed to this radio program live stream. And so if you would like to let them join us, then contact them right now. Have them get online, and they can join us and also call in questions as well. The text line is 725-9283, and we want to remind everyone that may be listening at other parts of the world that this area code is 843, area code 843, and then the other numbers are all area code 843. So the voice line is 308-9564. The text line is 725-9283. While we're waiting on the next question to get into us, I would like to discuss something in John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, Jesus is praying to his Father. This is the true Lord's Prayer. And I want to preface it by asking these questions. In John 17, he's praying about us. But let me ask these questions, and then we'll go to the Bible for the answer. Have you ever wondered, where did all the non-believers in Jesus Christ come from? Or where did all the haters of God come from? Another question is, where did the people that accuse God of bad things come from? And my last question is, where did all the people that think that God that they cannot see the glory of God come from, that they just are blind to seeing God through their eyes? Have you ever wondered? Because there's a lot of people that shake a finger at God in accusation. Many times you hear it at a funeral, that why did God take this person? And so all of these people that either they don't believe in Jesus, they hate God, they accuse God, or they just do not see God's glory, where did they all come from? Well, I believe we'll find the answer here in Jesus' prayer. In John chapter 17, beginning with verse 20, it says, "I do not pray for these alone, but for those who will believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one in us. Now, here it is. This oneness, this being united, tells the world that the world may believe that you sent me. Okay, there's the first answer. Being divided tells the world Jesus is not real. God is not real. And we're going to come back to this in just a moment, but we had another question come in, and I want you to be aware of that. It is time for us to take our first break, and we'll get to this question. And we want you to know that while we are at break, you can continue to call in your questions at 308-9564 or 725-9283. And we will let the Bible speak.
We are back live. Once again, we just want to let you know how much we appreciate you spending time with us this Sunday afternoon. This is a live call-in question and answer program where you set the theme, you ask the questions, you decide which direction the show goes in as you call in your questions and text in your questions. And then the only reason we are here is so that we can facilitate your answers, facilitate the answers to your questions from God's Word, so we can give you book, chapter, and verse. If we do not give you book, chapter, and verse, then it's, you know, you shouldn't be trying to listen to us. You should be listening to God. It's God's Word. It's God's Bible. And we're just showing you where to find God's answers at. And it is our earnest prayer and desire that you would see that through us, and that you don't think that we're trying to give our answers on anything. But this is just simply let the Bible speak. And we try to do that. We try to let God's Word speak for itself. So please, with that in mind, go ahead, call in your question, text in your question, send them in. The phone number is 308-9564. It's finally back working, so we can receive multiple calls again. Once again, call in your questions. Go ahead right now. Do not wait till the end of the broadcast. 308-9564. Go ahead, call in your questions. Or the text line is available. You can text in your question to 725-9283. 725-9283.
Before the break, we started talking about a passage, but before I get back into that, let me thank everyone that is listening for your participation in this and your calling in questions. You are so much appreciated, and it shows your heart that you have a desire to know what God says, that you have a desire to find the answers from our eternal Father in heaven, and that you have a love and a hunger and thirst for righteousness. And so we are so thankful for your participation in this, and we hope and pray that you are blessed because you're getting the answers from God's Word Himself as we point out those things in God's Word. So go ahead and continue to call in your questions. The voice line, 308-9564. You can go live or have your question written down and brought into us. The choice is yours. The question is yours. The answer will come from God. Before the break, we started asking these questions. Where did all of these non-believers in Jesus come from? What causes this? Are those that even say that they hate God? Are people that accuse God of bad things? Why does God let babies, be tortured? Or are people that cannot see God's glory? Well, we can find the answer to this in John chapter 17. In John 17, he said in verse 20, he said he's got the 12 apostles with him, and he says, "Neither I do pray for these alone," that is the 12, "but for those that will believe on me through their word," that would be us, "that they all may be one," that is, united completely. How much so? Well, he says, "As you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may be one in us." So that's what God desires of us, for us all to be united, one. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:10, "of the same mind and same judgment," he says. Well, and here's going to be the result. Here is the result of that being united, one heart, one mind. The end of verse 21 says, here's what will result from it: "that the world may believe that you sent me." So that's one thing that's going to tell the world that we are his and that Jesus is real, that if we're all speaking the same thing, we're all following the same rules. Yes, the Word of God. But we're not. There's groups out there under the sun. This is called the Holy City because it is completely given over to just about every kind of religion you can think of. Anything you want to believe, there's some church here in this area that probably teaches that. But yet there's only one Bible. And until we're willing to follow this one word, we're going to be in trouble. Well, then the next verse says that the world may believe, verse 21, that you all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that the world may believe that you sent me. Then in verse 23, he says, I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know you've sent me, there it is again, and that the world may know that you've loved them as you've loved me. And thus, if we're divided, that is telling the world God doesn't love man. Now, I skipped over verse 22. It says, the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one as we are one. So the glory that God shines, the love that God shines, and the unity that God wants us to be are all had and available only if we are all united together following one set of rules, namely the Word of God. Nothing more and nothing less. The truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So where did all these non-believers and haters of God come from? Well, it came because of all this religious division in the world. So please, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the Bible for all the answers that pertain to life and godliness. Let's let the Bible speak. The number, 308-9564. There is the call-in question line. That's the voice line, 308-9564. Or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. Chuck?
Oh, yeah, we have Keith calling in this question. Keith, thank you so much for listening to the broadcast, and we appreciate you calling in your question. Keith's question is based off of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 33 through 35. And it says, he's just asking, what does it mean? What does this passage mean? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 33 through 35. Let's just read it. It says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as is in all the churches of the saints. Now, before I go on, let me just preface that verse 33 is actually just a continuation of the context that started back in verse 26. Really the whole chapter, but it's kind of a summary. So to go on to verse 34, we see verse 34 says, let your women keep silent in all the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. In verse 35, and if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in church. So if we look at the context of this entire letter, you will recognize that this letter to the church in Corinth was written as a letter of correction, of they were engaged in some practices that were not pleasing to the Lord. And when Paul the apostle heard about some of these things, he wrote a letter to make sure they knew what they should have been doing. In chapter 1, he recognized there were some divisions going on. And then later in chapter 5, there was some sexual immorality going on. In chapter 6, there was some judging going on. And throughout this whole chapter, we see a context of him correcting them for some wrong things that they were doing. And then in chapter 11, and another thing to remember is that these chapter divisions were put in by man. So a lot of times the context flows from one chapter to another. And so when we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 18, it mentions something very specific. It says, for first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 18, it sets the context, and that context actually lasts throughout the next couple of chapters. And so you can't lose track of the fact that he's talking about when you come together as a church, when you come together as a group of believers, as the ones who are in a part of Christ's church. So he talks about that there. And then he goes on to talk about these gifts, and he's kind of summing up what he's talking about in verses 33, 34, 35, when he's talking about as in all the churches of the saints that he says in verse 33. And so honestly, it seems very specific and very clear what he's talking about. He's saying, let your women keep silent. He does not allow the women to speak. And so that's what it just seemed to be very specific of what he's talking about there. And if you have trouble with that, Look over at 1 Timothy chapter 2. It gives you another example of this. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. Verse 11 says, let a woman learn in silence with all submission. Verse 12, and I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over man, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, and then Eve. So we see God's reasoning for what he says. So in the assembly of the church, where the church is gathered together in a worship service as a church, then God says he does not permit women to speak in that. And so we can see that's just kind of clear. Once again, that's 1 Timothy 2, 11 through 13, and 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 34 and 35. 308-9564 is the number.
Or if you'd rather text in your question, you can text in at 725-9283. 725-9283 is the text line. Again, both lines on the voice line is available. If you'd rather call in, you can call right now at area code 843-308-9564. We have a texter texting in this question. He wants to know, if tithing was before, and I think there's something missing there, under the law, and Jesus told his detractors that they should not omit it, why are you denying it? Well, questioner, we're not denying anything. All we're doing is reporting to you what the scriptures say. And so let me take you to another passage in Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, he's talking about those keeping the law. At chapters 3, 4, and 5, he's talking about that. But when you get to chapter 5, the beginning of the chapter, it clearly points out here that they, indeed, verse 2 says, chapter 5, verse 2, indeed, I, Paul, say to you, if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you are fallen from grace. Now, so we can see that any part of the law we try to justify ourselves with, for example, Malachi, that's where most people hammer this idea of tithing to people today, that if they do that, then it says that they are fallen from grace, they've become divorced or estranged from Christ. And so, therefore, we do not have the right to go and pull things here and there unless we're willing to do the whole law, as he says in verse 3, which would include going to Jerusalem three times a year. And so there is the truth from what God says here. Also, I would encourage you to read Colossians 2, verses 14 through 17, where it talks about that the law was nailed to the cross, that it was just a shadow of things to come. And so many other passages, a lot in the New Testament is devoted to that question, and so we do not have the right to counteract what God says in his word. But thank you so much for your question. We appreciate it very much. It's time for us to take our next break. While we are at break, continue to call in your questions, 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind. Again, we remind you the 725 number is a text line during this broadcast. 725-9283 is the text line. The voice line is 308-9564. We'll be right back. We are back live now. We want you to know that we're happy and thrilled that you are listening. You are our special guest today, and it's so good for you, us to be able to go to God's Word and be able to find what God says. And so you honor us by listening, and most importantly, it says something about your heart that you desire to know what God says. It says that you hunger and thirst after righteousness if, in fact, you're wanting to know what the Bible says. And so thank you so much for letting the Bible speak in your heart, and we hope and pray that the things that we are covering today will speak to you, not because of us, but because God himself, through his word, is directing you. And so thank you so much. Again, the number, if you have a question, call in right now at 308-9564. That's 308-9564. That's the voice line. And you can call in your question, either go live on the air or have it written down and brought in to us. 308-9564, or you can text at 725-9283.
We have another caller sending in this question. Kim calls in this question. Kim, we appreciate your listening to the program, and thank you for calling in your question. She is following up on the question I answered about earlier about 1 Corinthians 14. And she says, what if a woman's husband is not a believer? Where does she get the teaching? Well, let me just preference that that verse that we looked at earlier that says, you know, if she should ask her husband at home, that 1 Corinthians 14:35. So when he mentions ask the husband at home, she's just not supposed to just ask the husband at home just because he's the man, he has all the answers. That's definitely not that's not the point she was making when that verse was written. The point that's being made is the fact that the husband's supposed to be the leader of the spiritual leader of the family, and in things concerning God. Kim, sorry, Kim. I was calling Kim a she. Kim is a he. I apologize, sir. My apologies. But so Kim, that is talking about the fact that the husband's supposed to be the leader of the home in terms of following after Christ. You know, 1 Corinthians 11:1, Christ says, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. We're not just supposed to imitate Paul just because Paul's Paul, you know, shave our head for an oath like Paul did in Book of Acts. We're supposed to imitate him as he did, as he does Christ. And so when we look at 1 John 4:1, that tells us, beloved, do not believe all the spirits, but test the spirits whether they are of God. So when people are telling us something and teaching us something about the word of God, we must test them. Well, how do we test them? We test them by using what God gave us to be a tool as testing people and testing things. And that's his word. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 tells us this, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable or good for doctrine, which is doctrine means teaching, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So if this woman's husband is not a believer and she can't ask him about godly things, well, go to the word yourself. Well, we should all be going to the word ourselves anyway and being able to have our own relationship with the Lord. And so, and the husband is supposed to be the type of man that follows after God and leads his family by example of serving Christ. But if that husband is not, then we each have to, for our own sake, look inside God's word and see it ourselves. Galatians 1:10 talks about, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. So in all things, we are servants of Christ. And so hopefully that's been helpful to you, Kim. Thank you, sir. Yeah. Once again, those passages were 1 John 4:1, 2 Timothy 3:16-17, and Galatians 1:10. The call in your question, the question line is 308-9564. That's the voice line, 308-9564. Or you can text in your question. The text line for texting your questions is 725-9283, 725-9283.
We sure appreciate your participation with us. It is our honor to be able to direct you to what the Bible says concerning the questions that are on your mind. We sure appreciate it very much. We have this texter texting in this question. Last three digits are 723. The question is, what is the proper way to transition from one church to another? Well, you know, I really had to think about that a few minutes and going through some verses of scripture. And it has to, I have to answer it in two different ways. One, if it is a matter of a church that is teaching that which is wrong or going, having a doctrine beyond the doctrine of Christ or teaching of God's word, Galatians 1 brings out that if that is the situation, then it says that they are accursed. Anyone that teaches anything more than what God's word says, Paul himself says, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel than that which was preached to you, that was 2,000 years ago, let him be accursed, anathema. Then he repeats it again. This time he says, that which you received, past tense. So anything new is not true. And it says back in verse 6 that it was removing them. I marvel that you're turning away from him that called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not a different one, but some will trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. So that perversion was removing them from Christ. Okay, now that we establish that, if that's the situation, what are we supposed to do? Well, we certainly don't want to be in fellowship with that. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 14, says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever?" So there would be individuals that would be accursed. Now, do we want to be part with them? Verse 16 says, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore," here's God's answer, "come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch the unclean, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty." Now, that's if that's the situation where they're teaching wrong and you cannot have anything to do with that, there's the answer. Come out. Find those that are walking according to truth, the church that belongs to just Christ and nothing more and nothing less. Now, if you're part of a group that loves the Lord and you're wanting to move over to a group that is also a true lover of God and following in the truth, the only example we have of that is recorded in Acts chapter 9. When Paul came from the churches up in the Damascus way, he came to Jerusalem, and it says when he came to Jerusalem that it says that he tried to join, verse 26, he tried to join the disciples. So there's what he was trying to do. It says they were afraid of him and did not believe he was a disciple. So they have the right to reject that fellowship. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how he had seen the Lord in the road and had spoken to him and how that he had preached boldly in Damascus in the name of the Lord. And so, the result, so he was with them in Jerusalem, coming in and going out. So there's both, if it is as far as all in full fellowship with God and walking, and versus those that are not. We've just got to come out, period, and not be in, I guess you might say, in bed with the devil. We cannot be in fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, period. Ephesians 5 and verse 11, look at that as well. Ephesians 5 and verse 11 instructs us what we should do concerning that. Thank you so much for your question. We sure appreciate it very much. Very good question. I don't think we've had quite that question before, and I'm honored that you are listening and you're to be commended for your desire to know the truth. The number to call in your question, 308-9564 is the voice line, and the text line is 725-9283.
We have another question, and before I read the question or answer the question, I will propose a question. The question I'm about to propose is this. If God's word tells us to do something and we choose not to do it, is God pleased with that? I think everyone had the same answer. No. If God tells us to do something we choose not to do it, then no, he's not going to be pleased with that. And so I asked that question just to prepare your minds for something that we have this question for. Keith asked this question concerning what we talked about earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 34, 35, about the Lord not allowing the woman to speak. And he says, does this mean a church is in violation if they have a woman preacher or a woman bishop or a woman apostle? So we, I believe that would kind of fall into just the question that I kind of just asked. But I'll lead you to another passage of scripture that might make it a little bit clearer for you. So concerning a bishop or an elder or a pastor or a shepherd or overseer, when we see those words in the New Testament, we must understand that those words are all interchangeably. So the word elder, bishop, overseer, pastor, shepherd, they're all used interchangeably. They're actually very similar Greek words. So we can recognize that. So if you look over to 1 Timothy chapter 3, we see in verse 1, it says, if this is a faithful saying, if a man desires a position of bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. And then he kind of goes on and says some more character traits. So my question would be concerning verse 2, concerning being a bishop, can a woman be the husband of one wife? And I think that is probably where you're going to find your answer. And so we see that there also there's Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 9 that says very similar things are contained in Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. Verse 6 of Titus 1 says, if a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, and then it kind of goes on, continues. So we have a couple of passages that mention that if someone's going to be in the role of an elder, overseer, or a pastor, or a shepherd, or a bishop, someone's going to be in that role, the people that God allowed to be in that role were men. And so when we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34, where he says the women to be silent in the churches, well, then, you know, how would they be a bishop or a pastor if they were told to be silent? So we see God is pretty clear on that. Now, there are some things in God's word that may be a little bit harder to understand than others. You know, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 talks about your ways. My ways are not your ways, my thoughts nor your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And so there are some things that God just, you know, he's going to understand that we don't necessarily can't wrap our minds around. However, there are a lot of things in God's word that are very straightforward, very particular, and very specific. And when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 34 and 35, and also Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 13, and also 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, I believe, and Titus chapter 1, verse 6. When we look at those verses, they're pretty straightforward and pretty specific. And so hopefully that's been clear to you, Keith. And if that's a little bit troublesome, please go ahead and call 553-5157. Excuse me, had a big blank just now. Sign up for a Bible correspondence course, 553-5157. It's a great tool to be able to help you to learn just strictly what the Bible says. And there's a lot of things that may be a little bit hard for us, but the Bible correspondence course is something that breaks it down and leads you to the scriptures to see what God's word says without any kind of extra man-made teachings or doctrine. So please, I encourage you to do that. We're about to go to break to speak to you a little bit about that, and I encourage you to listen and encourage you to sign up for the course. 553-5157. We'll be right back. Thank you for joining us with the broadcast. Thank you for hanging in there with us. You can call in your questions. We are back live. You can go ahead and call in your questions. Please go ahead and do so. 308-9564, 308-9564. Far too often at the end of the broadcast, the questions start to pile up and we get a lot of people calling. So we want to try to avoid that just so we can get everyone's questions in and answered this week. So please, if you have a question, go ahead and call. Do not wait. Go ahead and call 308-9564. While we had a break, Ricky pointed out to me something that I said just a few minutes ago when answering the question about the pastors and the elders and the overseers. I was mistaken concerning those Greek words. There are three different Greek words. There's a poimen, episkopos, and
presbyteros.
Presbyteros. Yes. So there's a couple of different. There's three different Greek words, and so. Those five different words that I mentioned, the overseer, the pastor, the shepherd, the bishop, the elder, those five words, they're not all interchangeable. However, when you look at poimen, pastor or shepherd, to feed them, that's similar. And episkopos is with bishop, and then presbyteros is the elder. So those five words, they're not exactly the same. So I misspoke on that, and I apologize for that. But that's why there's two of us here, and that's why we all let the Bible speak. And so when you look at, if you were to look a little bit deeper into those Greek words, you would see that is actually about six or seven English words that go into those three Greek words. So I just wanted to make clear of that. So 3089564 is the number to reach us here at the station. Once again, that's 3089564. Or you can text in your question. The text line is 7259283.
The reason we sometimes will point out the difference in Greek and English is because our English language continually transforms. There are words that mean different things today than they meant when I was a kid. And so there is an evolution that takes place in a living language. And English is living and therefore transforming as time occurs. But when we go back to the beginning, where the New Testament, that was that form of Greek, Koine Greek, is a dead language. It did not transform anymore after its lifetime, which was less than 1,000 years that it was spoke on the earth. And thus, that language, one word meant one thing. And so when you look at those three different words, we know exactly what they meant. And they were descriptors of those leaders in the church back then. And those are the words that are used. They're used interchangeably to describe that responsibility of those elders, overseers, bishops, the names that are applied to them most commonly. And you can look in Acts 20, you'll see all three words describing the same group of men. And 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, all three words are used to describe those men that were responding to that. So go into the original language if you like. You don't have to. You'll see it in English as well. And thus, that was those that were overseeing the local churches back then. We have a caller calling in this question or texting in this question. They want to know, are you sure about that woman is to be silent, is not still under the old law? Because God is using and speaking to many women across this world. Well, let me address the second part of that question first, and then we'll come to the first part of that question. We have this caller, the last three digits of the number is 797. We want to say, first of all, thank you for calling in your question and for sharing your thoughts or asking your question with us. Well, as far as God speaking to people today, if anyone comes up with anything new, Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 says that they are accursed. And that word accursed is the Greek word anathema, which is like a super curse. It is a more extraordinary than you would ever even imagine. And so it was the worst kind of curse that you could think of, and that was from God. So if someone, whether man or woman, comes up with something new, as if they're saying this is directly from God and it's not in his word, they are accursed. Okay, I wanted to let that soak in just for a moment. No matter if it's man or woman, if someone comes up with something new, it is not true. All truth is revealed in God's word. We have it all. Jesus promised he was going to give it all. Peter said we have all things that pertain to life and godliness, 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. And the word of God lives and abides forever, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, 23. So we have all the truth here, and God has preserved it, and there's no doubt about that. Now, so we're going to find all the answers in the Bible. Now, your first part of your question, are we sure that the woman was not to be, that was not part of the old law? Well, that is a real good question, because when you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, even though they are ascribed in as far as our physical Bibles as part of the New Testament, the actual events that took place in those books were actually people that were living under that law, including Jesus. Jesus was keeping the law of Moses as he lived here. But when he died on the cross, Colossians 2, verse 14, 15, 16, it says that the law was nailed to the cross with him. Those principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly. And he says these were just a shadow of things to come, but the real is of Christ. And so now we're supposed to listen to his word. So Jesus introduced a number of new things in those four books, but starting from that point forward, as Jesus died on the cross, then the new covenant was in force. And the church began in Acts chapter 2, and so we're supposed to follow that. Now, all that said, 1 Corinthians was written many years after the church began. It was part of the new law. And so when God said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it was applicable to today. It is not a sneer against women, because in that same passage, he tells men that they are to be quiet under certain circumstances. If you're there with me, notice also in this same passage where he said that, that there's only supposed to be two or three, and that by turn, verse 27. And so if they can't, it says if there's not an interpreter, then let him keep silent in church. So even men were to be quiet, keep silent under certain circumstances. The whole purpose in this chapter is that he's dictating to us the organization of worship and how it is supposed to be unfold today. The bottom line, literally, in this chapter, verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. Yes, this was for Christ's church to practice today. It's not a sneer against women. It is actually part of the curse given to men from the beginning, and Adam let Eve down, and therefore, because he let her down, God said, okay, now he is the one to be out front. He's the one that's going to be shot down by Satan more than the woman. So there you got it, and hopefully that's helpful to you. We sure appreciate that very much. Thank you so much for your question. Again, the number is 308-9564. 308-9564 is the voice line. The text line is 725-9283.
Again, we appreciate you hanging in with us and listening to the program. And we, once again, just want to preface that when we give you these verses, we're really hoping that you're going back over these verses yourselves, and you're looking at the things that are in the Bible to recognize that they are the words of God and not the words of man. We recognize that there are a lot of various teachings going on around the world, and you've probably heard many different things concerning God and how to be saved and you know what's pleasing towards God, and you probably heard a bunch of different things. And you might have even seen some verses of scripture. People taught you some verses of scripture that you think are right on about what they're teaching. But you need to preface in yourself and understand that there are more passages in God's word. Usually there's more than just one. When he's talking about a subject, it's usually more than just one. And so it's important to look inside the word yourself, and to be able to learn where things are at in the Bible, where you can go at to answer certain questions. And it's not just one place. There's usually multiple places that we can go. And so it's important to recognize that God's word is speaking to us. And we should be able to hear God's voice through his word and not try to just, you know, always associate it with what so-and-so is telling us or what so-and-so is teaching us. But recognize that it is God's word, and being able to look at it and see that it's the word of God and not the word of man. As those in the church in Thessalonica were praised for doing, we see this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 in verse 13. Here you have the Holy Spirit using Paul to write to the church in Thessalonica. And one of the things that he says is that, we thank God, verse 13, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing. For when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it as it is, as in truth, the word, not the word of God, but as it is in truth. Excuse me, I'm messing that all up. You welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. See, the word of God only has power in it if you believe. It only effectively works in you when you believe. And when you believe it, you live it a certain way. It's a living faith or an active faith. That's what James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26 is talking about. That living faith, that active faith that you have when you believe in something that God says. And so we have to recognize it's the word of God and not the word of men, especially when you hear difficult things contained in the word of God.
We want you to know that we're about to take a break. But while we are at break, you can continue to call in your questions at 308-9564. That's the voice line, 308-9564. Text line, if you'd rather text with your cell phone, 725-9283. We're about to tell you about a Bible correspondence course. If you've never enrolled in this course, please do not delay. I know there are thousands of you that have enrolled and received this in the mail, and we're happy to send it to you. But have you ever wondered that while we do not ask for money or do not ask for donations, it's because we want to give you treasure? Jesus nor the apostles ever asked for money, nor do we. We want to give you treasure that will never be taken away from you, and that will come through a study of God's Word. Most churches today are restricted from telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth because they must continue to stay within their denominational box or their box of denominational doctrine. And thus, if they have to stay within that, there's a whole lot in God's Word that you may have never seen before. Please, go ahead, remove the blinders, dig into God's Word yourself, put your full shovel in it, and dig out the treasures that are there. Why not start with this Bible correspondence course and dig out what God wants you to know so that you will be able to be blessed eternally? Then the number we're about to give you, if you want to go ahead and jump ahead to get this Bible correspondence course, is 553-5157. 553-5157. Don't delay. Get this on the way to you so that you might be able to receive the blessings that God intended for you to have, for you to build your life like the Lord our Creator wanted you to build in the first place. Learn from God Himself in His Word. Again, that number, 553-5157 for the correspondence course. When you get it, fill it out, send it back. We will grade it, send the next lessons back and forth to you so that you will continue to learn throughout the coming months. 553-5157. Now, while we are at break, go ahead and call in your question. If you have a question, 308-9564. We'll be right back. We are back live now, and we are so thankful that you are participating with us. We noticed a couple of you or more enrolled in correspondence courses, and we're so glad about that. We appreciate your desire to know the truth and nothing but the truth. You know what? Another good thing about this is when you get it in the mail this week, you'll be able to study this anytime you want, 24/7. So if you're a night owl and you're awake at 3 o'clock in the morning, well, you can get out the Bible and receive the blessing right there as you look into God's Word. Wherever you study or whenever, this fine, it's up to you. But by all means, get this and study through it. Now, by the way, when you get it and you study it, just don't let it lay there. Put a stamp on it. Send it back to us, and we will grade it and send the next lessons to you. If you want to know how it unfolds, the first lesson we send to you, then you send it back to us. We grade it. Then we send that back to you along with the next two lessons. And then you study those two, and you fill them out. You send them back to us. Then we'll grade those and send you the next three lessons. And thus, that's the end of the first course, and then we have about 20 other courses of study after that. So you can continue your journey into the joys of the Lord for many months to come. So don't miss out on this. And hey, yes, it is absolutely free. We never ask for any donation or any contribution at all. Now, that's different, isn't it? I bet you've never even heard of another radio program or a religious group that never asks for money. Isn't that a shame? Because neither Jesus nor the apostles ever asked for money, neither should we. That right there should be an eye-opener about the situation that is before us in the religious world today. So, yeah, that's one thing that you might put in the back of your mind and chew on just a little bit. But don't miss out. Go ahead and call 553-5157 and get this course in the mail to you absolutely free. We're happy to send it to you. Don't miss out on this. And thus you'll be able to build your faith, because faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. 553-5157. Don't miss out on it. Again, the number for your questions, if you have a question, you can call right now live. We're waiting on your question at 308-9564. 308-9564. Or if you'd rather, you don't have to talk to a person. If you want to just text us your question, you can do that as well at 725 308-9283.
Once again, you can go ahead and call in your questions. The lines are open at 308-9564, 308-9564. Go ahead and call. While we're waiting on your question, we got a little bit of downtime. Just wanted to make really quick mention of, kind of about what we mentioned earlier. We talked about the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so there's, once again, it's another one of those topics that people may not be able to understand or recognize, because there's a lot of different teachings going on in the world. And on our website, www.BibleAlone.com, there's a list of a couple of different subjects that are a little bit tougher for people to understand. And so we have studies on that you can download absolutely free. And you can go over yourself and look what God's word has to say. There's about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, about the difference in the Old Testament and New Testament, about difference in the baptisms and how there's just one baptism. And so there's a lot of different studies that will help you on our website. So go to that www.BibleAlone.com and you can see a couple of those studies there. But concerning what I just wanted to mention really quick was about this Old Testament and New Testament. And so when you look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, and verse 15 tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Other translations say properly handling the word of truth. There is a certain way that we're supposed to be able to use God's word. We must be able to recognize that it is his word, it is his truth, and we must do with it what he says. And so teaching others and showing others the difference about what God's Old Testament commands were, what his New Testament commands were. And if you look at Hebrews, the book of Hebrews gives a really, really a thorough example of how we should be able to recognize the difference. So besides that, there's Galatians chapters 3, 4, and 5. There's Colossians chapter 2. And then in Hebrews, there's chapters 7 through 10. All deal with how there's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Specifically here in chapter 7, of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 18 talks about, for on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment. So to annul something is like to do away with it. And then he says, because of his weakness and unprofitableness, verse 19, for the law made nothing perfect. But on the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. And then it goes on down to verse 22. It says, by so much more, Jesus has become the guarantee or the surety of a better covenant that he says there in Hebrews chapter 7. That's verses 18, 19, and 22. And then also we have Hebrews chapter 8 towards a large portion of chapter 8 is a quote from Jeremiah 31, verse 31 through 34. And talking about this new covenant, in verse 6, it talks about, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. So once again, showing that Christ, he brings in this new covenant, this new commandment. So once again, that's Hebrews. That's just a little snippet of it, but in chapters 7 through 10 of Hebrews, Galatians 3 through 5, and also Colossians 2, those are the chapters that deal mainly strongly with the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And once again, you can go to our website, BibleAlone.com, to get more information on that. 308-9564, 308-9564, to call in your question.
I just noticed on our website that somehow I forgot or overlooked putting up an article on that subject. But guess what's going to happen? This week I will do that, Lord willing, and we'll have an article up on the Old Testament, New Testament relationship. So you can go to our website. I would wait till Tuesday to do this. And so go to BibleAlone.com, and we will have that on our website. Just hit the Bible Materials button. And that will take you to a whole list of resources that are, again, absolutely free for you to download. We have Jackie calling in this question. They want to know, deacon with one wife, what does that mean? Can a divorced man be a deacon? Well, we go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we have the list of qualities that are supposed to be embraced by someone to be considered a deacon or to serve in this special capacity, in this special servant role. It says, likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of money, holding the mystery of faith with a pure conscience. Let these also first be proved or tested, depending on your translation. Then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives are to be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their houses well. For those who have served as a deacon obtain for themselves a good standing and a great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So there's the entirety of the instructions concerning the deacons. And, of course, you're referring to verse 12, where it says that they're to be the husband of one wife, just like the elders or overseers or pastors, bishops, like they're supposed to be, mentioned in the first part of that chapter, verses 1 through 7. So what does that mean? Well, it means exactly what it says, husband of one wife. So how many living mates on the face of the earth would say that they were your wife or wife to you? And it means one wife, exactly, one living wife. And you might say, well, if they're divorced, they're no longer my wife. Well, does that mean that you never refer to that person as my first wife? Oh, yeah, you see, don't you? Yeah, so even though you may have married and divorced, and it may have been for the right reason, according to Matthew 19, which is for the cause of adultery, and you divorce them for that reason, then that still means that person is a living wife, your first wife. And so that would be two wives. It means one wife, exactly as it says, and so we can't add or take away from that. Now, I would be that certainly would be a clear legal on paper kind of thing to disqualify someone. But Jackie, some of those other things we just read there are also should be just held as much as important as that as well. And this was a list that God wants us to pay attention to before we ever put someone in the, if you will, in a special position of service to be able to make certain that they're not going to bring reproach or a shame on the name of the Lord. How many of us, ladies and gentlemen, know where pastors, overseers, preachers have disgraced the name of God because of their sinful behavior, and yet they go through life and not having any repercussions to that whatsoever? Ladies and gentlemen, that is not to be. It is not to be named once among God's people. We must show ourselves approved unto Him, follow His instructions, and let God be the one that we're following. Forget what man says or what man may overlook in God's word. Let's not be worried about that. Let's concern ourselves with what God says. We must let the Bible speak. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's the voice line, and we have one line available right now, but go ahead and call and just let it ring, and we'll get to you. Or if you have a question that you want to text us, you can text us at 725-9283. Again, hurry, get your questions in, and we will do our best to point out what God has to say about the questions on your heart and mind. We'll be right back. We are back live now. We want you to know that this is a live broadcast. Today is the 29th of June, 2014, and we are happy to be in your presence, and we're happy to receive your questions. The number again, 308-9564, or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. Chuck?
Yeah, we have a text question by this We have a text question, and then the text question says, please explain Hebrews 7 concerning tithing. And in Hebrews 7 concerning tithing, it's about Abraham who tithed to Melchizedek. And we find this in Genesis chapter 14, 18 through 20. Now, the main point of this is showing the difference between the Levitical priesthood that came a fleshly versus the priesthood of Melchizedek, which was spiritual. And so we see the difference in here is because verse 11 in chapter 7, Hebrews, it says, therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, of necessity there is also a change of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, for which no man has served at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident if in the likeness of Melchizedek there arises another priest. Now, what does he mean by in the likeness of Melchizedek? Well, the priesthood of Melchizedek was going to be a people of someone who was not going to die. We see he makes the difference between a priesthood that can end and a priesthood that cannot end. If you go down to verse 23, it says, and there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. So death stopped the Levitical priesthood from continuing. Someone was only high priest until they died. However, in the order of Melchizedek, like we see in the first part of chapter 7, that verse 3, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. So Christ, he will always be our high priest. He is always going to make intercession for us. So the priesthood of Melchizedek, of which Christ falls after, is greater than the priesthood of Aaron, or the Levitical priesthood, which came from the loins of Abraham. So we see it was a physical priesthood from Abraham, passed on physically to the children of Israel through the Levitical priesthood, which was not greater. It was less than the priesthood of Melchizedek, of which Jesus was after, because Jesus, his priesthood never changes, never ends. So that's what Hebrews chapter 7 is talking about. The difference between the priesthood of Melchizedek, of which Christ was after, is greater than the priesthood of the Levitical priesthood. 3089564, this is the last segment. Go ahead and call in your question if you have one. 3089564.
We have Keith calling in this question. He says, if Jesus' blood saves, how could the faithful in the Old Testament be saved who lived before Jesus? Keith, great question. I appreciate it very much. And, of course, you're right. There was a lot of offering sacrifices in the Old Testament. Hebrews brings out that the blood of bulls and goats does not take away sin. And so God provided a more excellent sacrifice than that, namely Jesus Christ, to take away the sins of the world. And so you wanted to know about how it all connects with them in old. And so if you go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39 and 40, it says, and all these, after giving this long list of people that were faithful, obviously forgiven, and were right in God's sight, it said, all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So there it brings out the same sacrifice that atones for us also atoned for their sins as well. And so it all is put together there in Jesus' death on the cross. The scapegoat, all of the sacrifices, monthly, weekly, yearly, there were hundreds of thousands, millions of sacrifices that were given throughout the Old Testament, and all of that was a reflection, a shadow of the true sacrifice, the true Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. So, great question. Thank you so much, Keith. We appreciate that very, very much. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. We want you to know that the line for the enrolling in the Bible Correspondence course is still available. And so go ahead and call 553-5157 to get that Bible Correspondence course to you in the mail this week. We also, those of you that are listening right now, please know that if you desire to have a personal study or a personal call, then you can also call that same number, 553-5157, leave your name and phone number, and say, please call me about a study in person, and we will do our best to make that happen. 553-5157. All you have to do is just ask for the study, ask for the information, or ask for a call back, and we will do our best to oblige and help you in your own personal walk with the Lord. Do you really hunger and thirst after righteousness? Would you describe yourself like the eunuch that had traveled 1,000 miles to serve the Lord, that God sent a messenger to him? Then by all means, don't miss out on finding the truth that he was searching for as well. He was confused. He was asking questions. He was eager to learn, as well as Cornelius. He was asking questions. He was ready to learn. Are you? Then call 553-5157. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. So don't miss out on this. You can get the course or just ask us to call you back. We will do our best to get back with you. 553-5157.
Chuck? We have this question calling asking about what about a prophet who divorces his wife to marry one of the new members? What kind of example is this for the young people? I will first talk about divorce. There's Matthew 19 where Jesus allows for a divorce under one circumstance and one circumstance only, and that is for sexual immorality. So in Matthew 19 verses 3 through 12 is where he mentions that. So if a divorce is because of anything other than sexual immorality, then that causes each party to commit adultery if they were to engage into another marriage or into another sexual practice. And so we see God's ruling on that as far as divorce. But concerning being a prophet, there's something we need to recognize here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 concerning if someone claims to be a prophet today. A prophet is someone who speaks forth the word of God. We'll see back in the Old Testament, before the Bible was complete, before we had the New Testament, the completed revelation of God, the prophet had to speak forth the word of God because they didn't have it written down for us to just go to all together. I mean, they had scrolls and some books were written as time went along, but the Bible was not complete. We did not have the complete revelation of God. So 1 Corinthians 13 shows us the completion, tells us about the difference between in part and the completion. And so in 1 Corinthians 13, towards the end, picking up in verse 8, it says, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. See, prophecy was only partial revelation of the word of God. It was not the complete revelation of the word of God. And then he says in verse 10, but when that which is perfect or when that which is complete has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. So the prophecies here, the tongues here, the miraculous knowledge, it says those things were done in part to reveal the partial word of God. But when that which is complete, when God's word comes together, the full complete revelation of God, which we see in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, that tells us we have all things for life and to godliness. God's word is complete now. If it's new, it's not true. That partial revelation, that time for partial revelation of God is done with. It has been done away with because we have that which is perfect, that which is complete. So that's once again, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 through 10.
We want you to know that we're running out of time, but we are so thankful that you have desired to find the answers contained only in God's word. We hope and pray that we've been able to direct you to that, because one day you and I both are going to answer directly to him based upon what we've done here and now, according to his will. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Why call me Lord and do not the things that I say? And hopefully we're able to find those answers so that we can show ourselves approved unto God. No doubt you desire the true happiness and the joy that only the Lord can give. My friends, it will not come from physical things or money or position or pride or anything like this world might give us, but only by yielding to our Creator's touch as we obediently love him, seeking to do everything he says. What we must do is let the Bible speak.